greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we stand here not on any of our merits, but on the merits of Jesus Christ alone. As I stand here, my mind travels back over time. And I don't know the exact amount of years, but we used to ride our bikes down here. My brother and I, we played speedball down here. I don't know if Kenny plays as hard as he did then, but he sure did put his effort into it then that I remember. And I think if I remember correctly, the first year, Wendy Pfeiffer might have been a senior. So it's been 20-some years ago. Never thought I'd find myself here, but the Lord has led us here, and he has been faithful. And we ask that and pray that he would be faithful again tonight as we try to present the message that he has given to us. My wife Ange was planning on coming with me this evening along with our two youngest, but lack of naps, she probably has them in bed at this point, so she stayed at home to get some of them to bed and plan on being here tomorrow. For those of you that may not know, we have four children. Levi is 8, going to be 9 this year, and Anna is 7. Abram is 3, soon to be 4, and Faith is 1, soon to be 2. So she has her hands full, and God has been faithful in giving us healthy children, and we're thankful for that. I don't know how many of you know me, how well you know me. I feel like I know a lot of faces here. Getting to know Brother Jim Hoover better. He's been working with my father-in-law and I, and we appreciate him. Tonight, as we had Brother Steve read from the chapter 10 of there of Hebrews 19 through 25, we're going to look at verses 19 through 21, and tomorrow morning we plan on looking at verse 22. The title of the message, if you would want a title, would be The Blessings for the True Believers, Four Blessings for the True Worshipers. The four blessings would be, the first one would be that the holiest is open. The second would be that we should have boldness in the blood. The third one, that we have a new and living way. And the fourth one, that we have a great high priest. As the writer of Hebrews begins this second portion of here in this epistle, he begins the second portion of the epistle here starting with verse 19. And the beginning of the epistle was more of a teaching of doctrine and doctrinal, and now he applies it more to the believers. He begins here with a call to the Hebrews to come out of a life of unbelief. It's a call to all lukewarm, half-hearted Christians to remain no longer in the outer court of the tabernacle, to never be satisfied with staying in the outer court and trying to serve God. It's a call to enter through that rent veil into the presence of God, where the high priest dwells and where God dwells. It's a call to all doubting, thirsting believers. And I believe it's a call to each of us, and it's a good reminder for each of us of the blessings that we, I fear many times, take for granted. For centuries, Israel had a sanctuary with a holiest of all into which no man might enter except by the pain of death. No old covenant worshiper would be bold enough to try to enter the holy place in this tabernacle, and only the high priest was able to enter once a year. The veil that separated man from God was the barrier between man and God, and this barrier sent out a message to all people that God, man could not dwell in the presence of God. We could not abide in his presence because of our sin. But as we read here in Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 19, we see that all that has changed. And I'm going to just turn back and read a verse out of Mark. Mark chapter 15, verse 38. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. We see that the veil was rent from the top to bottom. This was not a work of man, but this was the work of God. Only the death of Christ could tear that veil. This veil was rent. The holiest was opened. And God waits to welcome his children into his presence. You and I have been invited into the very presence of God. That is the first blessing that we as believers in this dispensation of grace have to enjoy, that we take for granted many times, that we have been invited into the presence of God. God Almighty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, you and I have been invited into his very presence. The holiest is opened. The second blessing we see is boldness in the blood. I'm just going to go back and read the first two verses there, 19 and 20. Got to get to the right chapter or right book. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We know that under the old covenant, life had to be taken in order for sins to be forgiven. An animal's life was taken in order that their blood could be presented as a sacrifice. An animal without blemish was to be taken. And if you go back into the Old Testament, you will see all the stipulations on the animals that were to be taken for the sacrifice. As I mentioned, it was to be without blemish. Depending on the type of sacrifice, it was maybe to be a male or a female, large or small. But it was to be without blemish. In Christ, we have a life without blemish that was taken. The life is in the blood. If you would read Leviticus 17:11, you would see that the life is in the blood, and the shed blood means death. Shed blood means an unnatural death. And there are two ways that this unnatural bloodshed can come, and that is by malice and by justice. And in the death of Christ, we have both. We have malice and we have justice. It was not enough that Christ would present himself at the gate of heaven as the conqueror of death and hell and ask admission without dying. He had to take with him his own blood as it had been shed upon the earth. As our high priest, he presented his blood, his very own blood, before the presence of God in forgiveness, for forgiveness of our sins. He did not just go and present the blood of an animal. He presented his own blood. And as I studied this, Jesus Christ presented his very own blood for your sins and for my sins. What a blessing. The presence of God has been opened. We have been invited in. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the High Priest, has presented his very own blood for you and for me. Many times we take that for granted. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, and having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Christ was shed because of the evil passions of men. In Christ there was the life of God, infinite as God is the worth and the power of that blood. In Christ, there was the life of man. In its perfection, in his humility and obedience to the Father and self-sacrifice. That is what made him unspeakably well-pleasing to the Father. If you would read Matthew 3, verses 17, and it reads like this, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The blood of Jesus as God and as man was poured out in a death that was a perfect fulfillment and a perfect victory over the temptations of sin and self. The blood of Jesus, the blood of that Lamb, think what it means to you and to me. God gave it. He gave His Son, His only Son, for you and I, for our redemption. And then He accepted the blood of His Son as Christ entered heaven into the presence of God. He accepted that blood for your sin and for my sin. How sinful and how weak we are. God has that blood in forever in His sight as the fruit, the infinitely well-pleasing proof of His Son's obedience unto death. This is the blood that we are to have boldness in. The blood of Christ. That is where we are to find boldness. That is what gives us liberty and confidence to enter into the presence of God. The blood of Jesus poured out as God and as man was perfect. This is the blood that the writer of Hebrews is telling us to have confidence in. It is this blood that is now in heaven on our behalf before God. The blood of Jesus. So we see this is the second blessing. The first blessing is that the presence of God has been open to all man. The second blessing is that God's only Son presented His blood on the behalf of you and I, and God has accepted it. We serve a satisfied God. Sin has been paid for. Our death or our punishment has been taken care of. God has been satisfied. We can have boldness as we enter the presence of God. The third blessing we see as a believer is that we have a new and a living way. What is this way? What is this new and living way? It is the one and only way. The boldness in the blood is the right or liberty of access that Jesus won for us. The new and living way has reference to the death of our Savior, our leader, and our forerunner, who opened up the path to God in which He first walked Himself. What makes a good leader? Someone that does it himself. The best leader you can find is one that does it himself. He doesn't ask someone to do something he doesn't do. Jesus Christ has walked this path. He came to earth. He has walked the path. Philippians 2, verses 7 and 8 say, "But made Himself of no reputation," talking about Jesus Christ, "and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The very path that Jesus walked, He opened, He inaugurated for our redemption. This is the path that we are to follow. Take your minds back to when Christ was on the cross. What happened there? He died to the flesh. And then, as we talked about earlier, the veil was open. That barrier between man and God was opened, was torn from top to bottom when Christ died to the flesh. Through the rent veil of His flesh, His life, and His will, Christ yielded up to God in death, and He entered into the holiest. This is the path that He has chosen and that He has walked and that we need to follow Him in. The path of obedience unto death. Death to self. Death to the flesh. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 reads, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps." Christ's death was something entirely new and to these people. His resurrection, a life out of death, had never been known. This death and new life constituted a new and living way. The word new means ever fresh, a way that never decays or waxes old, but always retains its first perfection and freshness. Hebrews 8:13 reads, "In that He saith a new covenant, He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. This new and living way, it is the way of death unto the flesh. John 12, verses 24 and 26 read, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. This way of obedience and suffering and self-sacrifice and death, however hard and unnatural and utterly and impossible it may seem to us, this is the living way. Yes, the way of death is the way of life. The only way to be set free from our fallen nature with the curse and the power of sin resting on it is to die to it. Jesus denied himself and would do nothing to please that nature he had taken, sinless though he was. He denied it. He died to it. If you remember, he prayed, Not my will, but thine be done. He had a sinful nature. He had a nature like we do. This was to him the path of life, and this is to you and I the path of life, to die to self. This is not a one-time thing. As we all know, it's a daily struggle to crucify the flesh, to die to self. Our flesh is strong and sinful, and we do not get away from it as we live this life. But praise God, the way of death is life. Lastly, we come to the fourth blessing. And we're going to look at this one maybe just a little bit more. I think, what should I say? It's a little bit more special to us, maybe. I don't want to take away from the blood of Christ. But as we have a great high priest, as we have Jesus Christ, the one that shed his blood, there, even now, interceding on our behalf before our God. What a blessing. We have looked at the invitation, the call into the holiest of holies. We have looked at the boldness that we should have in the blood of Jesus. We have briefly looked at the new and living way of how Christ died to the flesh, and this is the way that we must live if we want to enter into the presence of God. And now, we would like to look briefly at our great high priest. The knowledge of what he has won for me, the entrance into the holiest and the work he did to win it, the shedding of his blood. He is our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. What was the duty of the high priest? I'm dry tonight, so pardon me. But what was the duty of the high priest? They were to present the sins or the sacrifice for the people before God. But we know that if we would read in the Old Testament, before they presented the sins for the people, they had to present a sacrifice for their own sins. This high priest stood between God and man. There was a clear and distinct way in which they were to offer their sacrifices, in which they had to obey. And we're not going to go into all those details, and I don't know if I'd want to do that because I feel there's many here that could do a much better job at that. But there was many details as to how they were to offer sacrifices, how they were to kill the animal as they presented the sin offering to God. But the priest was to take the blood of the animal and dip his finger in it and sprinkle it 7 times before the veil. He was presenting the atoning blood before the Lord. And there were many other details that were expected to be followed. Before the veil, the priest came before the veil every day. But within the veil, as I mentioned before, only the high priest. He was the only one to enter. And he only entered once a year to present the offering to God. And he entered with great ceremony and great caution. Leviticus 16:2 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat." The place where God manifested his special presence must not be made common. If one cannot come into the presence of an earthly king uncalled, if we need to make an appointment to meet the president, how much greater it is that we would make an appointment to enter the presence of God. But that has all been changed. He has opened that. And Christ, our high priest, is there presenting our case. And we have been called. But we must come by the new and living way. And we must come by the blood of Jesus Christ with boldness. And Jesus is there interceding on our behalf. The person that had to do the work on the Day of the Atonement, as I mentioned, was the high priest. There was a substitute provided in any case, in case anything should befall him, whether he becomes sick or become ceremonially unclean, that he could not perform the service of the work. Back there in Leviticus 16, Aaron was the only one that could do the work that needed to be done on the Day of Atonement. And he was the only one allowed to enter into the holy place or the presence of God. The people had to depend upon Aaron, the high priest, to present their sins before God. This was the work of the high priest. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. As we think about the work of the high priest in the Old Testament, and how the people had to depend upon the high priest to go before God. And as we think about the blessings that you and I in this dispensation have, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 28. "And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests who offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. But the word of the earth which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore." There in the Old Testament, there was a continual succession of high priests because of death, one after another, continually needing to be put in that position as high priest. But the priesthood of Jesus Christ is an everlasting priesthood, ever living, ever active, never changing. His saving power is never disrupted. What a tremendous blessing you and I have as believers, as Jesus Christ, our high priest, presents his very own blood into the presence of our God. He has walked the way that we need to walk, that new and living way. He has died to self, and now he is there presenting his blood before our God for you and for me. I know for myself, many times I take that for granted. Many times I get distracted. But what a blessing. Christ was the perfect sacrifice. And when he gave of himself and presented his blood before God, God was satisfied. And the barrier between man and God was torn, was removed. And that gave us access to our God on a daily basis. What a blessing. We serve a satisfied God. And we have a great high priest that is always there, even now, interceding for you and for me continually. We have looked at four blessings that we can enjoy as new believers. The holiest is opened. We can have boldness in the blood, a new and living way, and that we have Jesus Christ as our great high priest, there presenting his very own blood for your sins and for my sins. It is my prayer that God has been glorified and that the saints have been edified. You will come to realize, if you listen to me speak very many times, that I'm not a long-winded speaker. So we're not going to go over time. But I would like to close with two verses in the end of Jude. And many of you already know what they are. Jude chapter verses 24 and 25. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. When I think of that, it can almost send chills up my spine. Jesus Christ, he is there presenting us faultless before an ever-wise God. Continually presenting us faultless. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever.